Good day, Rabbi Shabbos. We're learning tomorrow. This is our second daf day. We're learning daf Gimel and Seita. We're learning tomorrow's daf, Shabbos daf. It's not a short daf, and whatever we don't complete, in Mirth Hashem, we'll hopefully finish on Matzah Shabbos, but we learned daf Dalad. Let's pick it up from Beis. Amit Beis, we left off this morning. Amar B'chanin and Mesura. That is roughly 10 lines up from the bottom of the page. Second word, maybe a little less. Second word in the line, maybe 8 lines up. Second word in the line. Amar B'chanin and Mesura. A man should not tell his wife in our times, meaning after the Beis Hamikdash, no longer have a Beis Hamikdash. Latest history, Padi Plaini. Give her essentially a kinoi. Don't be seiser. Don't seclude yourself with so and so. A person should not be Mekana's wife. Why not? Tilmakaim Lunker Beis Buddha. Remember, we just had a little discussion in the prior Gemara about whether you need to aid him for the kinoi or not. We had a machloikis in the Mishnah whether or not you need to aid them for the stira. Everyone in our Mishnah agreed, Rabbi Blazer and Rabbi Shua both agreed, that you need to aid them for kinoi. And then a machlekes, Rabbi Shua says you need to aid them for stira as well. And Rabbi Blazer says, no, when it comes to stira, you can have even eidach or api atzmai. Came along in the Gemara, we brought a brisa, Rabbi Yehuda held even kinoi could be api atzmai. Says Rabbi Chanina Mesura, if I hold like Rabbi Yehuda that a kinoi between him and her alone is enough, so when he tells her this privately, and then she happens to go seclude with that guy, we're done. She's now a seita, and she doesn't have a carbon. She can't go bring a mincha to go get herself mutter back to her husband. Dilma kaimel and kabeis b'yida. Dilma kini apiatzma, kini apiatzma works. Umistat right now, she was secluded with this guy. Vileka idna mei seita, vileka mei seita, vileka mei seita, to check her, vileka asla ilua isra ilam. And it's going to leave her in the status of isra ilam. So we have to be careful for that shita, for that sad of Rab Yaisi bar Yehuda. Therefore, don't even warn, one should not even warn his wife, forget about it in front of Edom, certainly not, even not in front of Edom. What happens to Maisa? Miri says that we don't pass like a Beis Yehuda. This is just a Chumra Balma. Don't do it because according to a Beis Yehuda, it would be Aser. But we don't pass in that way. And therefore, Bithi Evan, we won't be concerned that if he's Mekana's wife privately, and then she goes and she says, sir, we're not, I mean, there's other concerns that she's not going to necessarily behaving properly, but in terms of being a Saita, we wouldn't rule that she's a Saita. That's the Miri. However, Rambam is a little interesting. Rambam paskins that in such a case, there's a problem. Bizman Azeh, a guy's Mekana's wife, they didn't live in Asmai, privately. She then goes to an assessor with this fellow that the husband warned her against. The halach is, Rambam says, Asr, like the Tzad Chumra of Rabbi Chanina Mesura, were you at Shitas Beis Yehuda? Sounds okay, fine. Rambam could be paskining, or at least being chayshish, for Beis Yehuda. Problem is, Rambam paskins black and white, that in order to have kinoi v'stira, he doesn't even pass like a Rabbi Eliezer, he passes like a Beshua. You need two edim for kinoi, two edim v'stira. Not only does the kinoi need two edim, stira needs two edim, Rambam paskins like a Beshua, they need both al pishnayim. So if that's the case, why is he even chayshish for a Beis Yehuda? That is a big question in Rambam. It seems to be inconsistent in two different places in Rambam. If he passes like a Beshua, then we shouldn't be concerned for a private kinoi that the husband does with his wife, but then he paskins like Agamara's chash, that we are concerned. So there's a couple answers given. We'll speak of two answers. The Bach suggests Rambam really passes like a Beshua. Avadi passes like a Beshua, but that, let me be more clear. He passes like a Beshua, le'inyin mamadis, le'inyin ksuva. That in order for the husband to say, you forfeited the ksuva, you're essentially guilty till proven innocent, we pointed out this morning. That's one of the big chidushim of Saita. I mean, the whole fact that may Saita waters is a nace. That's obviously a big chidush. But the fact that Eidechus Naman, will focus on that a little more surely. Eidechus Naman, that's a big chidush legabe Tumma, to say that they actually were Mezana. Once you have Kina Stira, Eidechus Naman, that's a chidush of Saita. Another chidush is that by Saita, once she's secluded, she's considered to an extent guilty. She's usher to husband, she's usher to Truma, and if it's to aid them about both Kina and Stira, she would tackle loser Ksuva until she proves that she's mutter, that then she'd be able to get it back. That's what Rambam was saying, that you pass like a Beshua, to aid them, that's what you need for taking away the Ksuva. But Lagabi, this Issel Bala, Rambam could hold that, at least L'chumra, we look at Beis Yehuda. So in this case, it would come out, the Baal warns her privately, he's Mekana privately, according to Rambam, the way Bach is understanding, in the Rambam, the husband would be able to, would not be able to be with her because she's Issel Bala Mechshash, that we look at Beis Yehuda. But he still would have to give her ksuva. He wouldn't be able to take her ksuva, because for that you need, like a Yeshua, to aid him and to aid him. That is the Bach's answer. Chalkim Shalkim wants to say, simple, that really, we paskin like Rabbi Yeshua. Rambam paskins like Rabbi Yeshua. That's the Iker Din. And the Gemara is just saying that the Rabbanon, Gemara was saying, Rabbeisim, because she just Rabbi Yehuda, we should be worried. And the fact that Chanina Mesura took it on, Rambam held as like a Gzeirah Rabbanon, like an Issa Rabbanon, over and above the Iker Din. So the Iker Din talk is that she wouldn't be Aser. And we're going to be Machmir on the Iker Din, and that's where the husband will fall into trouble. Okay. Bottom line, what's going to happen b'dieved? Again, what's going to happen b'dieved if the husband warns his wife privately and then she goes into seclusion? So we already said, according to Rambam, it's a problem. Question if it's a problem, Me'ikra Adin, problem only Darabanan. We said from Iri, not a problem. It was only going to Reis Yehuda. We don't pass the way, and therefore b'dieved is not a problem. We have Tarkei Meisha gives an Eitzah. Tarkei Meisha, which is the Rambam, just the Pirush on the tour, Tarkei Meisha writes, you know what you should do? The husband is allowed to be Meichel Kinoi. It's a Gemara. Husband can forgive the Kinoi. So he's Mekaner right away, quickly. Dr. Meisha seems to say before the wife gets a chance to be Seiser, to go against the warning, the husband should just be Meichel the warning. Once he's Meichel the Kinoi, it doesn't exist anymore. The Kinoi's gone. So that's an Eitzah if he was Mekaner as Manazah. And the rabbi hears, the rabbi tells him, what are you doing? You crazy? You won't be able to verify whether she's a Seiter or not. Zayna, also same words. So be Meichel the Kinoi, and as long as he's Meichel, it's okay. Now the problem, what's interesting is, Dr. Meisha says, you should be Meichel right away before Stira. Tosfos in Sanhedrin Daf Peches learns that when a husband's being meichel the kinoi, husband warned the wife, and then he's meichel it. The mechila works to stop the seita process all the way up until past era, all the way up until they were meichik the parsha. We know you take her to the Beis Hamikdash, take her to the kayan, you write the parsha of seita, scrape off the letters, and you pour it into water, and then she drinks that water. All the way up to the point where the meichik the parsha, the Baal can still be Meichel. The Baal can still be Meichel. So if that's the case, so then ask the Achreinim, why is the Dr. Meisha saying that the husband must be Meichel by Stira? Let the husband be Meichel. Let the husband be Meichel already by all, he has the right to be Meichel all the way up till erasing the Parsha, which you're not going to have as Manazah, because with Manazah, there is no Parsha. And therefore, the Chayra, they always have the Eitzah. The Agamara is saying, Ya'asu Eilam, really could be Kasha, how says the Agamara, as long as the husband is Meichel the Kinoi, you should always have Eitzah, even with Manazah. It's really not just the Kasha on Dr. Meisha, really. I mean, the Chayra is asking Dr. Meisha, but I'm thinking now, the Chayra is a Kasha on the Gemara itself. Agamara is saying there's no Eitzah, according to Tosfos in Sanhedrin Peches, that he can be Meichel all the way up to erasing the letters in the parasha. Well, you're not going to do this, Manazah. So you always have an Eitzah. Husband, you Meichel, Chayra Veish Takatayna. The Achreinim, one second. The Achreinim suggest, that Bechlal, it could be the Eitzah of being Meichel, is totally, this idea, maybe Bechlal, of being Meichel, is totally in the Gemara coming up shortly. Well, we're touching it right now. And that is a fundamental machlekes, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel, is a husband just allowed to be Mekana's wife when he has suspicions? It's like a heter, he's allowed to, it's a reshus. It's Rishus, or it's a chayiv. It's a chayiv. If he thinks she's misbehaving, he has a chayiv to Mekana the wife. So that's the question. Could be, if you hold that it's a chayiv, then being Meichel is not such an option. You can't be Meichel because it's a chayiv. If you hold it's a Rishus, then being Meichel is an option. But again, that is a serious point on this whole discussion. Yes. The reason why, you're saying very good, but it's a different reason. The reason why, if the husband has relations with her before she gets checked by the waters, is because the pasuk says that nukam avan, and we darshan, only if the husband is clean from sin as well, does the seita waters check. For example, let's say the husband himself is a naif. Let's say himself is an adulterer, chalila. The waters also won't check. He has to be menukam avan. So if he has relations with her, not, you're saying it's mechila, it wouldn't check. But that's not what the Gemara says. You are correct. One second. Uri is correct that the waters won't check, but for a different reason, it's because it's not mukam avan. Yeah, okay, yes. But it is a good point. It is a good point. Both Hirsch and Uri make good points that if he's going to have tashmish with her, that should also be like a mechila. You never know. I mean, maybe a one-time tashmish is not a mechila, but okay, that could be a mechila. So when I have to come out to nukam avan, it's an interesting point. We'll deal with it in Mirat Hashem. We'll have to go right there and get smarter when we see that topic later. Amar Reish Lakish. My Lashon Kinoi, what is the reason, what's the idea of calling it a kinoi? Kinoi means like a jealousy. It's davar matl kinoi bein levin achirim. Interesting pshat. It's something which puts kinoi between her and others, not her and the husband. That's the next pshat. Between her and others. Why? The Gemara explains. First of all, he sees Reish Lakish holds that he can be mekana even privately. That's part of the story here. The reason why it's going to make kinoi between her and others is because they're not going to know why is she giving up on a cold shoulder. Why is she being so antisocial, because the husband warned her. That's what's being antisocial. But if the husband warns her in front of Edom, everyone will know about it. Work it out. The fact that no one knows about it must be, Rabbi Reish Lakish holds, the husband can warn her privately. Says the Gemara, Alma Kasava Kinoi be asked by Reish Lakish of the opinion, it goes hand in hand, that Kinoi could be private. And they're not going to know that she was warned, and therefore they're going to say, V'amri, my the comment to Kabadla, why is she being so detached? Why should be so antisocial? And it's going to cause a level of kinah. That is Reish Lakish's mahalach. The Gemara is going to say opposite. Before we go there, actually, let's jump into the bottom. Rashi, It's unbelievable. Second last line of the page. Says Rashi, Ma de kama, people are going to say, what's going on over here? Ma yesh lefenenu, ma irachshav, shezu baydelis minu anashim. What happened now that she's being so distanced from men? Which to me, it's unbelievable. It's like, people are going to be upset at her. It seems, you would think, or I at least would think, that modern day, where society has changed and roles, gender roles have changed. I'm not talking about changing genders, but gender roles have changed for the past 40, 30, 40, 50 years already. So men and women are certainly more out there. There's more, we'll call it more interaction between men and women. So now, even now, would men be upset if a woman is not outwardly conversive with them? It's a chiddush. You're talking about Rashi's writing this 1,000 years ago, Taichi the Gemara, 1,500 years ago, that the men are going to be upset. Why is she being baydelis for men? And what are we talking about, by the way? We're not even talking about being baydelis not to talk. We're talking about not to go in a private room. Like, okay, you never should be doing that. I've always had a problem with this Gemara, with this Rashi and this Gemara. It's my issue. I've never understood it. That what's this idea that people are going to get upset at her for doing something that any normal Bezakov girl today understands shouldn't be done? For not being social with men? Yeah, that's what you're supposed to do. I'm not sure what the issue is, but there's a much more.
Her dress was different.
There is, aside from my question, maybe it's not such a, maybe there's obvious teretz, but there's a starke diak in this Rashi, a festa diak, Miches Chinuch. Again, we quoted this morning, same Miches Chinuch, Shin Samachay, but there's a different piece of it. Miches Chinuch Mitaik and Rashi, and Uri, I just heard you had that diak, Shezu Baydelas Minha Anashim, that she's now being separated from men, plural. It sounds like, from Rashi, that the husband could warn her that she should not be secluded with a few men. And even that's a problem. And like we pointed out this morning, yichud is not the same as stira. Stira is husband more not to seclude with so-and-so. That's the issue of stira. We know in general there already was an issue of yichud. The issue of stira is over and above that. For example, issue of stira would be even to a woman and her brother, her own brother, her own father, her own son. The husband can make an issue of stira by warning her, but certainly there would be no issue of yichud. That was one nafkamina we said this morning. Here's another nafkamina that, according to Rashi's, the diak Rashi Miches Chinuch is making, that a man says to her, I don't want you to seclude with those three guys. I just don't like what's going on over there. There would be an issur to be with those three, even though it's not mamash a yichud, that would also be a stira. That's a festa diak the Miches Chinuch has in this Rashi. Okay, says the Gemara. Opposite. It's davar matal kina b'nei levina. When I say opposite, I mean it's opposite because he holds that the kina has to be in front of Edom. And therefore, the issue of kina is, it's causing animosity between the husband and wife. Al-Malimar says, the kina is dafka with to Edom, not bein levatzmai. And therefore, you're not worried about the rest of the world, because everyone else is going to know that there was a kina here. V'iyu, who did asli l'mavet kina b'ada. And everyone knows he made a kina, so they're not upset that she can't talk to them because they know she's been warned. But she alone, the wife is going to be upset at the husband for what he's doing. He's causing her to have anger between them. Says Gemara, tap of Gimel and Aleph, Alma Kasarvi to Aslakanes. Now, big enough kina is, according to the second pshat, it seems clear it's usher to, according to both Shatam, actually, I should say, according to both of them, it's Asa to Dukinoi, either because it causes animosity between husband and wife, that's Rav Yemer, or according to Shakish, it causes animosity between her and others, but you shouldn't do Kinoi. So now, that's all good, according to both of them, we say, it's Asa to Dukinoi, fine, it makes sense. And we already addressed this morning, how can we Asa to Kinoi, Terek is a Parsha Kinoi, why is Asa? We said, okay, it's Meikar Din, the concept exists, but you shouldn't do it, Al Shalom Bayis, okay, but the man d'amet says mutl kana is my lashon kinoi. If you want mutl to be mekana, where does the word kinoi come from? Amram Nachman by Yitzchak ain kinoi a lashon asra. It's a lashon of warning. Hashem gave a warning. Le'artzai actually means about his eretz. And pasukin yael, he gave a warning about his eretz. So here too, veikana kinoi means a lashon of warning. Tanya, these are just some. I wouldn't say a gadita, but kind of a gadita gemara about seita. A person does avir b'seisr, he does avir privately, thinking no one knows about it. Calls out about it in public. Just like this woman. A woman who's suspect of sinning, presumably she does it, obviously, but sinna. Most people don't have relations out in the open, so she does it b'tzina, and she thinks she's sinning privately, no one knows about it. And what happens? HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts it into the husband's heart, says the Gemara. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Machatov Gali, Shenemar, V'Avar L'Ruach Kina, a spirit, a ruach of kina, of jealousy will pass over the husband, and that will cause him to make this warning, and all of a sudden now it's famous news. And the lashon of avar is actually lashon of hachraza, of calling out. Where do you see that? Simply that means it'll pass over him a spirit of jealousy. But we're saying it's also there's more to it. It means it'll cause a calling out in front of the nation about her sin. Like it says, Vayitzav Meisha Vayaviru, they passed over a koil, a sound b'machana. So it puts together the idea of Vayaviru with a hachraza, with going out. Another kind of a drush. A person doesn't do an aver. The first say many first explain that this can be relevant to many averes, but particularly the aver of znus. That a person, it's a ruch shtus. This like ruach of it seems so amazing, it seems so worth it, and afterwards post facto, it's a crazy thing. What were you thinking? What was that? What was the point? So a ruch shtus takes over him. What's the source name? Ish. He sister ishtay. Any man whose wife sister means went. She went off the regular path. But we see Sishtaksiv is lashon of shtus. We're talking about her being her ruach shtus to do that avera. Tanu Rabbi Shmuel. Why did the Torah believe in Einach B'Seita? We had this morning already that what? That you need machlekes, if you need two edim for kinyan and stira. Let's assume like Rabbi Shmuel, you need two edim for kinyan and stira. But the Einach that comes afterwards and says, I saw they were mezana when they were seisr alone. I saw through a window they were mezana. Nitba, he's believed. Einach is believed. Why is that? We dash for the pesukim. The eight aimba, but if it's one eight, he would be believed. What's the pshat? What's the reason why Einach is a b'seita? Shraglayim ledaver. Again, connection to the last pesach, a little bit of different glayim ledaver. But like I said this morning, raglayim ledaver. It's raglayim ledaver that you had to end the nazir. The concept of something is a raglayim ledaver. Why? Shrikinu lo v'nistro of Einach mida shehi tamea. There was kinu, there was stira, and now eight saying that she was mazana. It's pretty strong. Over here, Einach is believed. Ask the Mefarshim, what on earth? The Torah says, Ve'eid Eimba, and we darshan for the psukim of Ve'eid Eimba. So, then over here, by Seita, we darshan that as long as you have 1 8, right? We darshan from Layakum 8 Echad Bish. It could have said Layakum 8 Bish, but it says Layakum 8 Echad Bish. We darshan over here that normally 8 means that you don't have 2 Eidim. So when it says Ve'eid Eimba, it means you don't have 2 Eidim, but you have 1 8, he lent his pasa, and she wasn't a victim, she wasn't forced against her will, then she's going to be Aser. So we darshan the psukim. What type of question is that? Why is Einach believed? You know what the answer is? It's not a yeshivish answer. Answer is, because the Torah says Einach is believed. What do you mean, why is Einach believed? Elamai, what are you getting into? Time of the Kra. Okay, that's Reb Shimon land. Reb Shimon was always darish time of the Kra. But the other Tanayim, they don't darshan time of the Kra. And therefore, what's the Gemara asking over here? That is a Bam Kasha, Rekiv Eger, if you notice on the side of the page, he actually connects this to, Rekiv Eger says, Ayin Mordechai, Perek HaGos L'Kama. Go look at the Mordechai in HaGos L'Kama, towards the end of Bavakama. Look at the Mordechai. What's the Mordechai over there? He's asking this very question. The Gemara there also addresses on a certain din, my time, the Gemara discusses such a lashon, if I recall correctly, by the Meida Miktus. By Meida Miktus, the Bema, why do we say Meida Miktus is Tani Shava? We dash from Psukim. And the Gemara gives a whole explanation because he really wants to deny it all, but he's embarrassed to. He really wants to be Meida all. He doesn't have the money. He's trying to buy time. And therefore we say, make a Shavuot to get the truth out of him. But the idea of asking a question on something that you darsh in the Torah, I forget if that's the exact Gemara of the Bavakama, or that certainly is a Gemara also in Bavmetziyah Daf Gimel, but again, Rekiv Eger is talking about a Mordechai Bavakama. It could be that's the same Gemara or a similar Gemara, but again, the idea is that the Gemara is explaining a din which is explicitly the Pasuk and giving a reason. And he asked the Mordechai, since when do we do that? Only of Shimon's reasons. Answers the Mordechai, beautiful. When do we say we need a reason? When the din is going directly against the klal that we have in Shas. All over Shas, all over Torah, you need to weigh them. Certainly by Mamanus and by Ishus, Dover, right? We learned Dover. We need to weigh them for Mamanus and for Ishus, that we know, right? So over here we're saying a massive chiddush that even for Isra Ishus Ish, even to say Iznus, Eidecha is going to be Neman. You want to put forth a massive new chiddush? Yes, we have a source of Torah. We're not questioning if it's true. We're just trying to understand why. And you're allowed to try to understand why, when you have something which is a massive chiddush, the Gemara could do that. That is the Mordechai's Taich over there in Bava Kamma. Taich Yantav says, a more simple teretz, a very simple teretz. There's no problem of darshing time of the Kra. It just makes a problem, Reb Shimon darshes time of the Kra, and based on time of the Kra, he comes out with Nafka Minas Ladin. If the reason is X, then the din's going to be Dafka here, in this case, and not in that case. If the reason's Y, then the din would be in a different case. We don't darsh time of the Kra, we simply have to apply all over. Reb Shimon says, no, we darsh time of the Kra, and we can quantify or qualify the din based on time of the Kra. That's the Kiddush of Reb Shimon. We're not doing that over here. it's time to give a reason for a din, as long as we're not changing where the din is going to apply, the whole Sefer Chinuch is based on that. That's Sefer Chinuch giving timim and reasons as much as possible by the mitzvahs. And that's fine. We don't go like Rav Shimon. We don't darsh time to come. Yeah, because we're not darshing the reason, but using the reason as a practical difference lalacha. We're just explaining the reason by the mitzvah, and that's never a problem. And that's what we're doing here as well. That is a beautiful pshat for the Tzeis Yontov. Okay, so let's move right here. Tan Bei Bishmo. Oh, sorry, we just saw that. Amalei Rapapla Baye. So we just said that the reason why Erechaz Neman for Tuma is because you already have a Kinoi, you already have a Stira, and now you have Erechot, that's why it's Reglaim Adover Erechaz Neman. Ask the Gemara, Amalei Rapapla Baye Vaki Ksiva Kinoi, Basa Stira Tuma Ksiv, Ksihu Ksiva, the words Kina in the Torah are written after the Stira and the Tuma. So how can it be the reason that the Erech Zaman is because there already was a Kina? Whole Kina is written only after the Stira and the Tuma. It's a Pel of Havina. The Marth also going to say this. Well, it doesn't make sense to have Kina after Stira and Tuma. The ship has already sailed. The Marth also is going to say, even though it's written after, it means before. But even what the Marth Havina is, what the Marth was thinking at this point, I have no idea. Says the Marth Amalei, V'avar means Ukva Avar. V'avar Alav, Ruach Kina doesn't mean right now, after the Stira and after the Edi Tuma. Or Erech of Tuma. It means V'avar, it had passed over him before, meaning he already was Mekan earlier. It means in the past. Ask Rav Meata, V'avar L'chem Kol Chutz, when it says, every man amongst you should pass over the Yarden. Hachanami, it means they already passed over the Yarden. That was part of the deal. They had to go past the Yarden. It didn't happen yet. Answers the Gemara, Hasim L'chsev Nichbash Ha'aretz L'chei Hashem Achat Teshuvu. It says very clearly, you'll go conquer the land, that's in the future, and then you'll come back. That's very clear. Mashmid Laba, that's very clear that means Laba. Elahacha, over here, it's logical. Like we point that right away. If you understand it to mean that the kinu is taking place after the stira, she secluded herself, and after the tumma, the avar bust the tumma is stira, kinu lamali. What would you need kinu then? It wouldn't make sense. And that's, therefore, it's obviously, avar means before. But it's interesting. The more needed of avar to say means before, otherwise somehow we'd have to have this din of kinu after, even though it seemingly would have no logic. Tell the baby Shmo. A person is not Makana's wife unless he has a ruach, a spirit that overtakes him. So the fact that he's Makana's wife, he's warning her, he's putting the kinoi out there, is because a ruach overtook him. But what is the nature of this ruach? My ruach. Rabban Amri, ruach tumma. I want to say it's a ruach of tumma. It's actually an impure ruach making trouble. It's a ruach of tumma which is being incited by, let's say, the Yetzirah, by the Satan. This, of course, fits, Merchus Kareva says, fits beautiful with what we had earlier, top line of the page, of the sheet that say, Asa Lakanais. There's an Isfaz Mi Makana, and therefore, again, same idea. And I determine as a parasha of Kinoyas, we pointed out, if it was during this year, after this year, there's a parasha of Tamur as well. There's an Isra to make a Tamur, yet it exists. You could do it, even though it's Asr. So too, you shouldn't be making Kinoy. It could be there. I don't think it then, but certainly, it could even be a Dreis take it then. The husband has the power to do it, but we don't want it, and therefore we're calling it Ruach Tumah. That's what's causing it. That is one pshat. That's Rabbanan. Ravashi Amar, no, Ruach Tahara. It is, the Rabbanan, by the way, what does it mean Rabbanan? Rabbanan doesn't mean Tanoim. It means the Rabbanan of Rav Ashi's base medrash. And Rav Ashi himself, it's like Rav Ashi today, Amar Ruach Tahara Adraba. The husband wants purity. He wants everything to be kosher and pure. And therefore, he sees actions from his wife that are not proper, and he's being Mekana. Well, Mestavar Kamandam Ruach Tahara, says the Mora, it's Mestavar that Rav Ashi is correct. That the Ruach, the Pasuk describing, is a Ruach Tahara. And that's what's causing him to be Mekana, not a Ruach Tumah. Why? Says the Mora, beautiful. Because we have machlekes as follows. The time we went to the Baisa, we spoke to that earlier. The kinas ishtoi rishus. The pasuk says the husband's mekana, the wife. The pasuk, according to Divrei Bishmol holds, this is a right the husband has. It's a permit to be mekana's wife. It's not an obligation. It's a right. Rabbi Kiva Imer chayva is actually an obligation. It's the pasuk is giving him a mitzvah chiv to be mekana's wife. Now, Iyam Bishlam ruach tara. If you say the ruach came over him as a pure ruach, shaper fits going to both shatim. It's a pure ruach came over him, and he has the choice now to be Mekana. Or according to Kiva, he has a chiv to be Mekana. And the Amr Ruch Tumah, if he says it's a ruach tumah, because it's a satan, so Rishus v'chayv l'al yinish ruach tumah l'mashay, he's mechuyev to bring a ruach tumah to himself, he's mechuyev to, or he's as an option to delve, to dabble in these ruach tumahs, it's not mestaver. So this price is machlekes from Shmuel Mekiva, when it seems to indicate that it's a ruach tara, not a ruach tumah. The Gemara is not going to go into three machlekes in, this is going to take us. We're going to quote the price we just quoted at length. And we're going to actually analyze three places where Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva have machlekes, whether something is a rishus, I'm allowed to do it, but I don't have to, or it's a chayva. In all three places, Rabbi Shmuel says rishus. In all three places, Rabbi Kiva says chayva. Let's go through them quickly. Kufa. V'kinas ishtar rishus. Pimakan, his wife, is a rishus. Tivir b'shmor. V'kiva Eimer. Kiva says, chayva. It's an obligation if the husband is suspicious to Pimakan, his wife. Lo yitama. The halacha is a kain kapim tame to mace in general, but his siblings, his seven closest relatives, including his sister who was a shalais lish that wasn't married yet. Lo yitama. To her, she's matama. So again, is that a rishus or a chayv? Says the Gemara. Lo yitama rishus. Tivir b'shmor. B'shmor says it's a rishus. Rabbi Kiva Aymer, Chayv, Rabbi Kiva says, it is actually a Chayv. Le'elamam Tavaydu, the obligation, the mitzvah say, the Israel say to free an Evikrani, the mitzvah say to keep an Evikrani underneath your jurisdiction. Rishus, according to Devir Bishmo, according to Bishmo, it's a Rishus. Rabbi Kiva Aymer, Rabbi Kiva argues, says, no, it's a Chayv. So three different things there. Rabbi Kiva is calling it a Chayv, and Rishus is calling it a Rishus. Jumps all over this, the Rishayim, including Taisvus. Tais says, I don't understand. If these three things, according to Bishmo, are a Rishus, and according to Rabbi Kiva, are a mitzvah, then we should have three things we should have in our Taryag 613 mitzvahs. Rabbi Shmuel should be either Rabbi Shmuel is short three, or if he has three more to replace it, then Rabbi Kiva is long three. There's three mitzvahs that according to Rabbi Kiva exist as a chayiv. There are mitzvahs that according to Shmuel don't exist. As a so you have to say that they obviously have arguments elsewhere about other mitzvahs that'll make it up. That's Taisvus. But this opens up the famous Ramban. The Ramban says, right in his rebuttal to say for mitzvahs in the first Sherish, right away in the beginning, this whole concept of Taryag, I don't know why everyone's busy with it. The Rambam, of course, Bereishim, and the other Rishayim, there's many, many Rishayim that count out. They don't necessarily agree what are the 613, but they count the 613. It says Ramban, there's thousands of mitzvahs. There's way more than 613. So, and the other Rishayim agree to that. They just debate what's included in Taryag, what's not. So he asked Ramban, what's significant of Taryag? Who told us there's such a significance? Let us say there's thousands of mitzvahs, and Taryag is not a number that we have to fit into. We have to, you know, make a puzzle out of it. And according to Ramban, it wouldn't be spread out. Shmuel has three less mitzvahs, Rabbi Kiva has three more. It doesn't matter, because Taryag is not a thing. Now, the truth is, Rambam, of course, is coming from the Gemara and the Makkos, and Rambam notes it. The Gemara and the Makkos brings at this 613 mitzvahs in the Torah. Gemara, right at the second to last daf, will be the last daf. The Gemara, right at the end of Masechtas Makkos, Chav Gimel, Chav Dalin, brings about the Taryag mitzvahs, brings also how all the different, historically, people try to break down the, you know, kind of a break down all the 613 into a smaller amount, as little as 10 Asher Sedebras, and as little as one. Tzadik b'mnasa yichya, if I recall correctly, it's about a tzadik living with his emuna. If you have one mitzvah that kind of encompasses everything, tzadik b'mnasa yichya. Okay, but the point is, that is a Gemara Makkos. But Ramban's Taina is fine. You have a Gemara Makkos, which brings clearly at least one opinion that says there's Taryag. But because of that, if we don't have any other sources, and there seems to be indications of so many more mitzvahs, more than Taryag, elsewhere else, why are we bound to this number? And this Gemara also would fit well, easy, like the Ramban, again, other Shenim would still have issue, but Ramban would not have a problem. There's a Gishmak Achap, and it's a shame, I don't know who where it's brought from, but a Gevaldik Achap, that there's a Machlekes Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva, the mitzvah of tzitzis, how many mitzvahs is it? We have Al Arba Kanfes, we have a mitzvah of tzitzis on four corners. Is it four separate mitzvahs? Avadi, you have to have mitzvahs on all four corners. But when I'm wearing mitzvahs, my tzitzis on all four corners, am I getting four separate mitzvahs? Or am I getting one mitzvah? Rabbi Kiva's of the opinion, one mitzvah. Rabbi Shmuel's of the opinion, four mitzvahs. Guess what? That's the three we just lost over here. Rabbi Shmuel had three mitzvahs missing over here. You make it up, and that machlekes for Rabbi Kiva, beautiful chap from, again, I apologize, but from whoever had said that connection. Okay, now the Gemara is going to analyze a little on what we just spoke out. Let us say that Rosh Hashanah and Machlokes about everything in the Torah that could be translated in two ways. Rosh Hashanah is going to say everything in the Torah unless it's said explicitly that it's tzivoy. It's only always a Rosh Hashanah. And Rabbi Kiva says it's a chayv. But really what he means to be asking is that according to Rosh Hashanah, we're going to be losing out all or most of the chayv asays. Because he seems to be saying unless it says black and white, you must do this, it's a Rosh Hashanah. No, it's specific machlekes to these three, the psukim in these three cases. The kinas ishtar rishus. Mark explains the first brayson. The kinas ishtar rishus. Devar b'shmol. Rekiva imer chayva. My time to b'shmol was b'shmol calling rishus. Sama kiatana. Itanya b'los back of imer. Klape shamra teira. Leisistas chicha b'vecha. The Torah already tells us elsewhere. Do not hate your brother in your heart. This isser of leisistas chicha b'vecha. Yach gain zu. So I would think that applies in such a case as well. To even a case where a woman is she's secluding with another man, the mice we had before, according to at least one pshat, being mekana is going to cause animosity between the husband and wife. So that could be an isser. That could be an isser of leisistas chicha b'vecha. Now the first one actually pointed out, the Radal points out, second Radal of the day, the Radal points out that if the husband knows with certainty that she's mezana, he's mechuyev to hate her. It's not isa ma'isa mecha. She's mamish being mezana. He actually would mechuyev to hate her. But the point is, Kozma, he doesn't know. He has an isra of leisis nasachicha b'vavecha, and therefore yachla and zu. I would think here you can't do kina because of that. So therefore, tamalem b'vavelav ruch kina v'kinas ishtai. Meaning, normally Rishmael says Torah tells me to do something. It's not a choice. It's an obligation. Whether the Torah specifies a tzivui, it automatically is a tzivui. Only over here, where I think I'm not allowed to be mekana because I'm getting involved with animosity and hatred, and like sis achich bevecha, maybe it's us or the Torah tell me, no, you're allowed to. Over here, tell me you're allowed to. But normally, a statement in the Torah would actually be a tzivui, would be an obligation. That's what Rishmael. Rabbi Akiva says, kina chrinik tzivui. You're right, but it says kina twice. If only it's kina once, you'd be right. It says kina twice, and therefore that's telling me it's a chayv. Rabbi Shmuel, I debay in the mechtav, he nitma vila nitma. Since the pasuk has to say, describe a case where she became tummy, she was defiled, or she wasn't defiled. So it says again, repeats the lush Shmuel, like the famous drush of Shmuel, Lishitasai, the Tani Bib Shmuel is taught to be special of Shmuel, Kalpasha number of Nishas, any parsha that's said and repeated. And there's a chiddush, some other chiddush in the parsha, in the repetition, we say it was repeated for that other chiddush, and you can't make an extra diak from the repetition. Loi Nishas, El Bishwal Davishas Chalishba, I'm actually going to repeat that klal in all three of these machlekes of Rabbi Shmuel Akiva. This is the first one, we're going to repeat again in the next two machlekes, and that's what's going to boil down to. Rabbi Akiva is making the drasha at the end, and Bishwal is not. Let's see. Loi Yitam, Lagabi, Kaimi Kami Tami, to his sister, or his relatives, but specifically his sister. Rishus, to Rabbi Shmuel. Bishwal says Rishus, Rabbi Akiva Imer, Chayva. My time to Bishwal was Rabbi Shmuel, that's only a Rishus. I did the custom. The Ksiv. The Pasuk says, Emerel Akanim bin Aaron Vamartale Aleim Lenefesh Leitama. Pasuk says, speak to the Kanim bin Aaron, tell them not to become Tame. So what do I think? That means Leitama Amav to anybody, including the seven closest relatives. So therefore, again, I would think he has no permission at all. Therefore, it's Itzrich Lemichtiv, you gotta write. Leitama. You have to write the Kumitama just to tell you to Rishus, because I would have thought otherwise, even family members are Aser. Rabbi Kiva has obvious terrors. No, it says in the pasuk right there. Kiyam l'sheirei akarivilov. It says sheirei is mutter, which we darshan is relatives are mutter. Not kiyam l'sheirei nafka, and no relatives. And therefore, lo yitam alamali, lo yitam is telling me l'chayva, that there's actually a chayv for him to be metap in the burial of his sister. Says Gemara, Rabbi Shmuel, and it doesn't just mean sister, by the way, it means any of the close relatives. Rabbi Shmuel, lo metama, v'metam l'vareha. No, I need lo metama for a different reason. I need to tell me, we had a similar Drasha and Nazir about being Matama, couldn't be Matama to his father, only if the father's body is intact. If the body's not intact, you can't be Matama, right? We had that, remember, not so long ago, about a month ago. So here we have a similar Drasha. You only Matama to, you have to know actually why you need both. You have a Drasha, La, and not Tevarea. You only Matama to, this is a little different actually. Over here, the way Rashi learns, over here what it means is, not that you're not Matama to the body if it's not intact. That's what we had earlier. Here we're saying, you're not Matama to an Aver. If an Aver, unfortunately, gets amputated, gets detached, and that Aver becomes dead during the person's lifetime, even though it's a relative that you've been metama to, you're only metama to the relative themselves when they die, not to an Aver for the relative. You're not metapel with this, Rashi says, with the Aver and Achai. Others jump over, so I focus on Aver and Achai. Okay, you're not metapel with this Aver of the relative. Rabbi Kiva, how's he going to know this din? You need a lechera. Lechera, you need Layitama for that, so that you don't know this din of Layitama of Achayiv. Imkein, lechtev rechmana, la. Let it just say la. V'lishtaik, what does it say la? Yitama. Lamali, Shmamina, I know this extra din as well. I know he's mechuyev to be tamed to his sister. I know only when it's her at some body that she passed away, and not just an aver. I know it all. For Bishmol, I did kasav law. Bishmol again, same type of logic. Once you're writing law, you have to write law. Kasav nami yitma. L'chani b'Bishmol, tani b'Bishmol. Call parshish nemar of nishnas. Any parsha that's said and repeated is taught again. L'nishnas al b'shvil davshagaz. But once there's something else in the parsha, that's a chiddush. You don't need every part of that pasuk, that parsha, to be a chiddush, and that's still fine. But there is a fundamental machlekes. We know. It makes nafkamina by Yisrael. When a kohen, we say, is able to be tamed to seven closer relatives, we point this out in Maseches Nazir. Is it just a heter? I mean, it sounds to be really like this machlekes Rabbi Akiva, but is it just a license? Or is it actually an obligation to do it? If it's an obligation, the nafkamina be is not mistafer to say that it's obligation for a kohen and not for every Yisrael. Every soul also would have obligation to his close relatives. You just don't need a pasuk because you don't need a leniency. You have to because he's mutter to become tamei anyway. But the obligation will certainly be the same. If you hold a reshus by, like a Rishmol, it's just a reshus by a kohen, but it's not an obligation. It's not by soul also. Maybe there wouldn't be an obligation. Of course, it's mitzvah, but don't know. If there's enough people to tend to it anyway without him, is there a separate mitzvah to tend to a relative? That would be of the chayr tali in this discussion. Okay. Says the Gemara. Last one. Leila mem tavaydu. That means the Isser of freeing an Evakanani. Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel says, it's not an Isser, it's a Rishus to work them to work them, acquire them, and work them. Rabbi Kiva Mechayva. My time Rabbi Shmuel. I did the chsiv. Leschai kol neshama. The pasuk says you shouldn't let any of the people from Canaan live. Leschai kol neshama. We have to kill out. We know by killing out Amalek, but also we have to kill out from the seven Amim. Itzuch nami lemichtav la'el lemem tavaydu. So therefore, you got to tell me that lemem tavaydu, meaning lemishri echem galumais to be matir. Now you can't be matir those that you have to kill. Those that you have to kill from the seven Amim, right? From the Chiti, Amari, Prisi, Vusi, right? Gershi, those seven Canaan, those seven nations, allow yourself to kill them, you can't take them as a slave. What it means is as follows. The Mishri Echmagalumais, Shabbat Canaan is Vailam and Ben. Let's say someone from one of the other nations, not the seven nations, has relations with a Canaanite woman. And the child's born from a Canaanite woman. Shatter Rosh Hashanah, you're allowed to be Kaina, such a child, as a slave, because you go based on the Yichas of the Tata, of the father. Itanya, Nayan Echmagalumais, how do we know? And we're saying now, Rabbi Shmuel uses the, because Leisachai Khan the Shaman tells you have to kill them, I would think you can't keep any of them as a slave, even in the case where it's only a half, only the mother was a Kananis, Kamash Malan, that Lemam Tavaydu, you're allowed to have them as Evan, even if the mother was a Kananis, as long as the father wasn't. That's the Kamash Malan. There might not be some prices to back it up. Problem is, the price is so good, the price is going to bring a different source for the same din. The time in Lechem and Umayis, Shabbat Kananis, Vayel, Men, and Ben. How do you know if one of the Umayis, they have a relation with the Kananis, and they have a child together, Shatur Rosh Hashanah, Evan, that child's fit to be purchased as an Evan, Tam Lemar, Vigamine, Tashav, Magar, Mimchem, Mehem Tiknu. From those teshavim that are garm amongst you, you could be kind of from them. We darsha as follows. Well, we'll see the drasha in a second, actually. Yachal, you think the other way too. Af Kanani, male. Shabbalachas with umayis. If the male, the father's Kanani, has a relation with a woman from one of the outside umayis, Haman Ben, and has a child with her, Shat to the Kaisi, you could be kind of that child as well. Be'evet, Tam Lemer, no. Ashalid Baratzachem, we say, Menan Eladim Baratzachem, those that are born in your Atzachem, Menan Yitka purchase, those that are born in your land, born to a Kanani mother, but not those that are kind of dwelling, born to a Canaanite father, that those are going to remain usher. Now, the obvious tain is, and the Gemara is going to spell it out for us, but it's a pella. At this point, you just put a brisa that gave me a drasha. Why a Canaanite mother is okay and a Canaanite father is no good. So once you have the drasha, why again would Rabbi Shmuel need, why would Shmuel need Lemam Tavaydu? Rabbi Kiva, how does he know this? Mehem Tiknafka. He knows for the pasuk we just quoted. Lelamam Tavaydu Lamali Lechayva. Rabbi Kiva say the fact that a Kanani father is no good, but a Kanani mother is okay, is Mehem Tiknu for the pasuk we just quoted. And therefore, Lelamam Tavaydu is actually teaching me that you can be kind of, there's a Chiyav to keep it ever forever. Rabbi Shmuel, the Gemara is Maskin. Mehem is a good source. The Gemara says, you're right. Bahem Flei Bachechem. He learns, Lelamam Tavaydu is teaching us a whole new din. He falls off the whole last Gemara, you could just, not a race, Chas V'Shalom, but that whole deflection in Rabbi Shmuel is gone. What does Rabbi Shmuel do? Lem Tavaydu? Why is he saying it's only Rishus, not a Chayiv? Says the Rabbi Shmuel, Bahem V'Lei Bachichem. Bahem tells me that it's the way you're allowed to enslave and keep as a slave the Eved Kanani, not the way you do to your brethren, to the Eved Ivri. Rabbi Kiva, Bachichem is saved to Karnafka. Bachichem, I know, for the end of the Pasuk, Bachichem B'nei Yisrael, Ish Bachiv, Leisert L'Bavai B'Farach. It says, Achichem B'nei Yisrael, don't be Meradim. Don't put him in servitude in a way of perach. Rabbi Shmuel, I did chsiv v'achichem, chsiv nami behem. And again, you're right. Essentially, we're saying you don't really need it. Once we said v'achichem, we are just reiterating what I said before, but we don't really need it for a new source. Chad Rabbi Shmuel, Zad Rabbi Shmuel, Kol Parshas Shemar v'nishes, Le nishes al b'shvil Davar Shene Shchadish. It's only nishes for the matter that was a shchadish. Amar Rav Chizda, Zunusa. The truth is, before we go further, one quick point. I know we're short on time. We'll be done in three more minutes, but we can't touch on that din, that Gemara, that topic, and not mention the famous Gemaras where Reb Lezer, I think it was, came to Shul. I feel like I remember the Gemara with Reb Lezer, and Reb Gamliel had Tevi Avdai, and Rebbe also. I feel like a few different times, these types of ideas. But I think the Gemara over there in Gittim Lameches, I should have looked it up, is Reb Lezer, who came in, and they needed a minion, and he was Mafkir as Evan. And the big issue over there is, how can Mafkir as Evan? Le'mam Tavaydu. And it said, because you need for the Rabbim, you need it for Tzarek Rabbim, shiny, you need it for a Mitzvah Rabbim, is shiny. And the whole discussion, Dafka Mitzvah to Rabbim, Mitzvah Rabbim has a special connotation. The question really is, what Mitzvah to Rice do we have that requires a minion? It's very nice to have with a minion, it's a beautiful thing. It's a Mitzvah to Rabbanon L'Chayra. The Chiv to Davin could be to Raisa, but a minion is to Raisa, is it? If it is, then that would be nice Pshah, that Gemara. But being over on the Elam of Tavedu, according to Rabbi Kiva, according to Bishmal, it was only Rishus anyway. But according to Rabbi Kiva, that's an Isser. It's a real Mitzvah, it's a Chayv, Isser to free an Evid. So Elam of Tavedu says, I can't free an Evid. So how on earth are you doing it for a minion? So the Rishayim there say, we just had this past couple weeks, that for Parshas Zachar, Amalek, there's a chiv de Reis Eleni there in a minion. And therefore, that was what's going on over there. He was freeing the Eved for Parshas Zachar. Or for Parshas Para. Now that's a Pella. Parshas Para. Why? Because that would be a clear riot discussion. This is the source. Whether Parshas Para is a chiv de Reisa. We're coming to answer Akasha, how can you free Eved for a minion that's not a Reis Tikadin? And one of the answers given by some of the Shonim is, yeah, it may be true as a Rashba. It's there. It was needed for Parshas Para. That would be a clear raya that at least those Rashonim hold. Then this Gemara, that Parshas Para is also a Dairaisa. The Ran, one that Gemara suggests, that Bechlal, Lamba Tavaydu, is not an Isser Gomer in the extent, it's not an Isser across the board. They can never feed Evan. It just means to feed Evan without a reason. If there's a reason to feed Evan, then you can. So any mitzvah, even the Rabbanim, would be okay. You just have to have a reason. And he compares it to Leisichanim. Leisichanim means you can't give the guy something for free, for no reason. But if you give him for reason, if you want to curry good favor, if you want them to give you good service, if you want to have a good relationship, that's all called a reason. That's not for nothing. And therefore, it's okay. It is a big shayla. I haven't seen it any day, G'day Lachrenim, any write a chupas about this, but I have seen it discussed in forums and conversation where people bring up halachic shaylas, like let's say by an Uber driver, right? An Uber driver that, again, I don't know the rules if he knows that you gave him a tip afterwards or not. I believe they do not see who gave the tip. I believe so. But I'm not 100% sure. I think it's probably
100%.
They see who gave it?
They see that when you give it, yes, you, because they sometimes send a thank you.
Yeah, but that could be automatic also. They don't know. It could be. I'm not sure.
No, I'm not sure.
I know they said thank you. I know. But I don't know if they know who gave it. If you do it in the car with them, for sure, then it's okay. Then you're currying the good favor.
Sorry.
But the point is, if it's a guy you're never going to see again, and he's not going to know you did it, you want to be a nice guy, but it's certainly not an obligation to do it. And you're just giving a gift to a guy. It could be a shayla v'sechanim. It's not simple. Again, if you make sure to make a note of it, and you tell him, you know, with your big fat yarmulke, and you tell him, I'm going to give you a tip because you give me a good service. Okay, it's a story. You're trying to curry favor for you in general. That would not be an issue. But anyway, the point of the Ron is, the Ron's answer is not probably lam tavaydu, because as long as you're doing it for a purpose, that's fine. It just can't be for nothing. So for a minion, even if it's not the Raisa, would be fine. So that's the Gemara. Two more lines, I will stop. I'm Rav Chisda. Zanusa Bebeza carries the Shemsha. Zanusa in the house is like a worm in the sesame. The way the first one explained is, it actually, because the worm eats out the inside of the sesame and leaves the shell. Husband doesn't realize the wife will be depleting his assets. She's busy caring for this other guy she's with and taking care of that and not taking care of the house. It messes up the inside of the house. And the outside looks like it's fine. From the outside it looks fine, but it's not. I'm Rav Chisda. Tikva Bebeza. Anger in the house, Karen L'Shem Shema, is also like the worm to the house. Same idea, the Gemara explains, I divide bitza, and both are more an issue by the wife. But not good by the husband either, for Sheitzach. Znus, anger, terrible by the husband as well. But when we talk about destroying the house, it's the wife, and the way the first one explained it, it's much more practical. It's actually practical because Rashi says this. The wife's job is to actually tend to the house and take the house needs. If she's busy being angry and not doing her chores, or she's busy being mazana and not doing her chores, the inside, the outside bricks and stones may look great, but the inside of the house will not be good. V'amar v'chizda. I forgot a lesson, but the guy won't destroy the house, his improper behavior, other issues, but it won't destroy the house. I'm Rav Chisda. Batchila kain shachat Yisrael, hayis shechina shara gukal chavechad. Before Kai Yisrael did averus of znus, the shechina was with everybody. Shemar ki hasham lekecha, misalich beker of machanecha. Ki v'shachatu, once Kai Yisrael sinned, the Shekhinah left them. Shemar v'leir b'cha, ervas davar, v'shav mecharecha. It shouldn't see amongst you an ervas davar, and I'll be shav mecharecha, and we darshan, what it means is, that the Shekhinah will not stay there because what was the lashon we said before? Before we said Hashem Lekecha Misarv Bekerav Machanecha, and now we're saying that if you are engaged in Zus, then Veshav Mecharecha he'll turn away from you. Amar Bishuah Bar Nachin Amar Benison Kaliyus Mitzvahes Bel Mazeh Bekam Tevelechas Tvanulam Abba. Whoever does a mitzvah in this world, the mitzvah will go and will be mocked in front of him in the next world. Shneimar V'Halach Tvanuv Tzkecha like he says V'Halach Tzkecha. And whoever does aver in this world, it actually connects to him, it hangs on to him, or it surrounds him. The way the first explained it is, it actually schleps him to din, it like helps bring him to din. Last Gemara. Rabbi Elazar Omer will make up the rest of Ritzchem after Shabbos. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Kshura like a Kelev. The Aver will attach him, bound him like a dog. Shemar, Vleishamela Lishkavan Zalalias Ima. Yasef refused to listen to Petifer's advances, Asia's Petifer's advances, right? He didn't want to lie with her, to be with her. What's the double lashon? Lishkavetzla liyesima. Lishkavetzla b'mazeh. Lias Mamam Ba, it's telling you the chait, not only is the aver going to envelop the person and take him to judgment, the aver is going to stick with him, it's going to remain with him, it's going to be next to him, even in the world to come. A person should be careful, and we're talking specifically about the aver of Zos, but her, well, any avers, a person should be careful. Have a wonderful Shabbos. Emir Hashem, 9:30 p.m., we will resume Amat Shabbos.